But now we go to Cincinnati. And remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, where James Rapine in Cincinnati joins us. He's the host of Locked On Bengals down there, where they, coming up on next Sunday, will be hosting the New England Patriots at 1 p.m. on CBS. James, you'll get something to Jamar Chase down there?
Yeah, I think that's the major question. I think there's a shot at it for sure. I also think that the Bengals are probably comfortable given the Justin Jefferson deal, the CeeDee Lamb deal, which happened after their fourth season going into year five, waiting. So can they strike a deal with 2 years left on Jamar's contract? That's the big question. They are talking. Will something get done? I think that's the big question going into week one.
Is there pressure on them to get something done sooner than later just for the simple fact that everybody else keeps moving up the market, pushing the market up for them?
Yeah, I think that there's some logic to that. You know, the fact that you think about it, like Garrett Wilson, let's say he goes off and has a CeeDee Lamb-like year with Aaron Rodgers. Well, he's going to want a lot of money next offseason. And so there's always a receiver or two that could push the market up. But I do wonder if we're close to the top of it. And at the same time, if you're Jamar, maybe you do want to wait. Maybe you do want to go out there with Joe Burrow and put up career high numbers and then get your contract next offseason, which would certainly be more than what you're probably negotiating right now.
Do you buy that he'll be ready to play and play at a high level week one after not taking part in any training camp?
Yeah, I do. He's been working out behind closed doors and running routes and doing all of those things. So the hold-in is kind of funny because obviously he stays healthy, but you still have to work out. You still have to run, jump, cut, run routes. And so he's been doing that recently. And obviously he has 2 weeks of practice to get ready for the Patriots.
Who are you most surprised didn't make the team?
There weren't really many surprises. I think that given what happened injury-wise during camp and they had a retirement in the defensive end room, it kind of made it pretty easy to predict where they were going to go. So there weren't many surprises. I think we could get a surprise or two today, though, with the waiver wire.
Jackson Carmen has been cut. Dax Hill has been terrible. How do you grade Duke Tobin?
Oh my goodness!
Mm-hmm.
Two different draft classes. Dax Hill, I mean, he's going to be guarding Jerry Jeudy, or one of these guys.
Good luck.
You think? Good luck.
Yeah, no, Jerry Judy's going to cook him.
Cook him.
Hey, if he locks down Jerry Jeudy, then we'll revisit this. He ain't going to lock down Jerry Jeudy.
Wow, there's a lot of confidence in Jerry Jeudy.
Have that much confidence that Dax Hill is terrible. Yeah.
Why is Dax Hill terrible?
You've seen the tape yourself. Why don't you tell everybody else? Because you know what I know, that he's terrible.
I don't think he's terrible.
Oh, so they just change positions around on guys who are really, really good?
I think he's clearly comfortable at corner, and he's going to start outside week one. Now, does he end up being a quality corner? We'll see. But they're pretty comfortable with him at corner.
Okay. But you didn't answer the question about Duke Tobin.
Jackson Carmen, I can't defend. It's awful. It's an awful pick. They never should have made it. Can you imagine thinking he can block Myles Garrett?
No.
I mean, there's not many guys that can, to be fair.
You'd rather have Ken Carmen trying to block Myles Garrett
now
than Jackson Carmen.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. I would definitely rather have Ken Carmen.
But
and I wouldn't say that in most scenarios.
I want you to affix a grade to Duke Tobin. That's what I want you to do.
I think the past couple of years, it has been rough. Up until possibly this year. I mean, all 10 draft picks made the team. I think that's noteworthy. And in 2020 and 2021, early in 21 especially, because that's when Jackson was drafted as well. But you get Chase, you get Burrow, you get Higgins, you get Wilson, Logan Wilson, the linebacker. Like, you've gotten a lot of pieces, too. So there are going to be hits. There are going to be misses. I'm not willing to call Dax Hill a miss yet. So great Duke Tobin, B. I think he's been above average. I don't think he should be fired. This team's really darn good. But, yeah, there have been some misses as well.
Do you think it's a good thing that all 10 draft picks and two undrafted guys made the 53-man roster, meaning there's 12 rookies on that team?
Well, one of them, the punter, Ryan Rico, kind of made it by default because Brad Robbins got hurt. So I didn't even really count him. But, no, I don't think it's a bad thing because they need to get younger. They pushed out some vets that had been on the team for a couple of years. that probably shouldn't, the Trey Hills of the world, the Jackson Carmens of the world. And so I actually think that this is a good thing, and it probably should have happened last year or the year prior in some cases.
Jason Williams from the Cincinnati Inquirer, not the basketball player. Well, I don't know if the guy from the Inquirer ever played basketball, or I really don't care. He wrote about Paycor Stadium, and he was asked a question about would the Bengals ever move over this situation. Do you think the Bengals would ever actually move? I do not, but I'm not setting you up to be nasty about it. I just want to get your opinion.
Yeah, I certainly hope not. I think both sides, whether it's the county or the franchise, are optimistic of keeping the Bengals here. So that's my approach to it. At the same time, you guys know up there how stadium stuff can go, is going. And I think it's good that Joe Burrow's in town, because that probably makes things a little easier to negotiate.
Yeah, if you build a new stadium, you could call it the house that Joe built. Isn't that nice?
That's going to be what it is if a new stadium does get done. A brand new stadium? Oh, yeah. Boy, look at you. You're trying to take us to the suburbs. I like being downtown.
Hold on. I didn't. I don't know what suburbs
are. You're not building a new stadium downtown.
Now, why is that?
Because where are you going to play in the meantime? There's all these things that you guys have talked about up there.
Louisville? You can play at Louisville? Don't knock it until you try it.
Cue the Kentucky jokes.
Oh, okay. Covington Municipal.
Yeah. The Covington boys, they would have you. All right. James, oh, by the way, do you expect Joe Burrow to make it through the entire season? How many games?
Of course.
All 17? All 17?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. James Rapine, Locked On Bengals in Cincinnati. We go to Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, where they will be at Atlanta at 1 p.m. Sunday, September 8th. That's a game on Fox. And Pony, first up, who would you pick to start, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
Russell Wilson. It's going to be Joe Davis, Greg Olsen, devoted, calling his first game on the B team. He gets Steelers and Falcons that Sunday. I would start Russell Wilson. I don't think he has a long leash, Ken. And by the way, Nippert Stadium would work for the Bengals.
Yeah, that would probably work just fine. Yeah, go ahead there, Stadium. Danny.
Do you think this was ever actually a quarterback battle between Wilson and Fields?
No, I don't. No. Mike Tomlin's really good at staging fake quarterback competitions. He actually loves them. He pretends like guys are battling. He's one of these phony baloney coaches that tries to make it sound like every starting spot is up for grabs. Everybody is competing. T.J. Watt competing for a starting job. Total malarkey. He has, over the last 2 weeks in practice, I think a grand total of zero starting first-team snaps have gone to Justin Fields. So when they convince Russell Wilson to play here for the veteran minimum and stick it to the Broncos, part of that was we were promising you'll be the starter week one. And that's why Kenny Pickett staged a hissy fit and is now the backup in Philadelphia.
So you said not a long leash for Wilson. What week do you expect Justin Fields to take over QB1?
I think by Halloween, he'll probably be the starting quarterback. Yeah. I think that Russell Wilson will not stink. I don't think he's going to blow. But I think at the moment there are it's not an ideal situation for him because the weapons on offense below average and offensive line questions for the Steelers, despite heavy investment in offensive line, tremendous investment in line, 2 first-round picks, big money, paying more to guards than any team in the NFL. So. For whatever reason, it still hasn't worked. I think the offensive line coach is not very good. But, yeah, I think that's going to contribute to Russell Wilson finding his way to the bench around the midpoint of the season.
Do you believe with the wait and waiting to find out all throughout the preseason of who's going to be the starter?
Do I believe in that?
Yeah, do you believe in such a thing? I know what you say about Mike Tomlin, but I want to know your thought in general.
I think it's dumb. I mean, this whole idea, Atlanta, they might be in practice this week. They got to worry about the Justin Fields read option. Their defensive coordinator is watching Justin Fields tape. Raheem Morris, he just woke up at 3:30 in the morning because he's nervous that Justin Fields is going to have 5 snaps. Complete crap. No, I don't. I think it's stupid. I think it's sophomoric. I think it's high school gym teacher type coaching from Mike Tomlin.
You guys going to get Brandon Ayuk or not?
I got news, Ken. It just moved off the goal line.
To where?
There was a penalty.
5-yard, 10-yard penalty, personal foul? What are we talking? Well, how far back are we?
It's half the distance if it's from the goal line. He's going the other way. He's not there. He said that 2 weeks ago. It starts at the 1-yard line and don't finish.
Hey, they took a holding penalty before Ben brought him 88 yards downfield to beat Arizona. Maybe that happened here.
Hey, give me a grade on Omar Khan.
This offseason or the whole tenure?
The whole tenure. Yeah, I know he ain't been around long, but come on.
2 years, I'm going to say B.
Okay. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan.